The buzzer after hours. Who says nothing good happens after 2 a.m.? Music. Stories. Just dropped releases. The after party. Nothing is taboo. Join us Wednesdays. After hours.
Hey, y'all. I am Shay. This is the Buzzer After Hours show. Welcome. Episode 19. Music composer, audio director, and sound designer Antonio Tioli is on the show today, along with Rock Netto of Resonant Sound Labs. Antonio has worked in over 400 games and animations, including Nintendo Good Job, Dolman, Storebound, and Rock and Rails, among others. He has worked for companies such as Nintendo, Paladin, Wooga, Sega, Samsung, Hoplin, Level Up, Vice, BitPlanet, and more. We chat about his career in the gaming space, Andromeda Sound, and the Game Audio School. We introduce the Amazonic. Antonio is founder of the Amazonic, the first audio company in the world focused on creating premium virtual ethnic instruments played by native people and connected to social causes. Enjoy the show. Yeah, welcome, Antonio. Thank you for coming on the podcast. It's really interesting work that you're doing out there.
Thank you.
And interesting company that we're going to talk about that you founded. I'm very excited about it.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. Rock, I've heard about your show, and then Rock filled me in and more details about you. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I would love to be part of it. So thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, thank you for coming on. I love getting guests that are really deep into the music scene and also doing different things with music, because it gives artists a great ideas that, you know, outside of their, their normal day to day, if they had just been gigging prior to COVID or something else, they can get more education and go into something in the field, but stay in music.
Yeah, I agree.
It's pretty great.
Gotta be smart in this business. It's not an easy one.
So what was your background like? Did you start interest in music when you were very young?
Yes, actually, yes. I started learning piano when I was 7. Since the beginning, I knew I would be like, I would want to be a composer. Originally, my idea was actually do music for video games since I was very young. And Sonic was the game that, sparkled this desire in me to become a composer. So I started learning music when I was 7. I was piano, then I started playing tuba on an orchestra in São Paulo when I was very young, 12 years. And then I started learning the guitar. And that's when I was like, oh my God, this is my life. This is it. So the guitar was the, piano is the instrument, is my intimate instrument. Like when I want to, that's the instrument I use on my work to compose, it's the piano. But guitar is my relaxed instrument, when I want to chill.
So when you compose your music, do you start on the piano?
All the time on the piano, yes.
And is there a reason for that?
No, I just, to be honest, every time I compose, I started with my iPhone, humming some stuff in the microphone. I don't even touch anything. But when I have an idea that I record on my iPhone, then I use the piano to register these ideas through musical notes on my Cubase. So that's,
amazing.
I think that when you start composing or creating anything using your hands, you're relying a lot more on your muscle memory. So when you just pick up your cell phone and try to hum some stuff and record that, ideas and instructions, like I go like, And then I go, well, okay, this is going to be played by the trumpet. The string is going to be like, and then I start to like record all the structure, like horizontally and vertically, just using my mic. So then when I have that, I have this acceptance moment of, oh, I compose the music. I just have to put it to register now on the through my music, through my piano and on my software and make it sound good. But that's pretty much my process.
That's a creative process that you always have used?
No, in the beginning I was always relying more on playing. And then I was like, okay, let me see what I will come up with. So I was like more improvising stuff. But now that you are more and more familiar with music notes, it's more like, it's like seeing colors, right? So you're more familiar. I know the sounds through my mind. I know how it sounds, a C4 on the keyboard. So I know exactly what I have to hum, even though I'm a very out of tune guy, but I know exactly what my out of tune is trying to say on the music keyboard. So I started to use it that way. And it works quite well for me.
Oh, yeah, it does. You create great music.
Thanks so much.
It looks like from the very beginning, when as a young adult, you decided to go into the gaming area, that you have a bachelor's degree in both game design and digital animation, mm-hmm. and then went to Berklee College of Music for game audio, mm-hmm. As well as the Opus Music Conservatory for three, four years.
Yeah, three years. Yeah.
Music composing. So was this the area that you're working in now with gaming and film and that? Is that an area that from the beginning you wanted to work with?
Yes, since the beginning, since the very beginning. That's why I actually, when I was 17 and I was about to start a university, I decided to go with gaming design because I felt that for me, if I wanted to become a game composer, I would have to understand what a game design is, how to think from the point of view, not just of a composer, but as a game designer. Because you have to take so much stuff into consideration when you're composing for games. Color palette, storytelling, dynamics of the game, you know, who is a character, where the game is placed in terms of time and location. Target audience, platforms, technical limitations, technical possibilities. There are so many answers that you need to have an answer before you even start to put in the first musical note for the specific project. So for me, it was vital to do the game design university, which was like 4 years and a half, because I could understand this mentality. And for me, it worked really well because I started to work in the gaming industry very early, like 17 years was the year when I got hired by one of the major game companies at a time in Brazil to work as their composer. So I basically just joined university and they hired me like 3 months later to work as their full-time in-house composer. And I was just 17 and I was doing games for like Disney, big brands, and it was a great beginning in my career for sure.
Was that DevWorks?
Yeah, it's called DevWorks. They don't exist anymore because one of the partners unfortunately just passed. So the company decided to shut down their operations like 10 or 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so it was, but it was a great beginning for me in my career. So learning game design, I think, was crucial for where I am right now.
Yeah, definitely. And you've won quite a few awards.
I got a few.
A few? I could spend 5 minutes relaming them all.
No, it's okay.
what are the ones you're most proud of?
Oh my God. To be honest, let's see. I think Taikodon in 2010 or 12, I think. That's when I've got many awards in Brazil because Taikodon was a was a huge project developed in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And I spent many years working on it. And I think I'm very proud of that because I felt that moment in my career when I was working on Taikodon, I had this huge shift in on my knowledge in composition and sound design as well. So Taikodon, I think, was the game that brought me awards that I'm probably more proud of it.
You won 4 awards. Uh-huh. And you won the Game Music Brazil 2012, yeah. Popular Vote and Critics Choice.
Yeah, that was Taikodon, yeah. Wow.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about Amazonic.com after the track that we're going to listen to from your Stormbound game, Menu Music. Can you tell us a bit about the game and the music and how you went to be creative?
Yes. So that track from Stormbound is one of the tracks that really, I think that, how can I say that? It's one of my most popular tracks because just like every day or so, I used to have someone comment on my YouTube channel like, oh, I love this track so much. What type of genre is that? And I honestly don't know. It's a very different type of music. And when the company hired me to work on this, the company name is Paladin Studio. They are just fantastic, creative wise. Their folks there are just amazing. We work in other projects as well, but Stormbound is one that I hold very close to my heart because of the vibe of the music. It's kind of this kind of mystical vibe. There was a lot of experimentation in terms of instruments. There are some complex elements on the rhythmic aspect of the muse because I use a lot of polyrhythmic. So sometimes are in 3x4, mm-hmm. and then the percussion is 4x4. So there is a lot of these confluences of different time signatures. And I think the music just flows naturally and just makes you relax and be a part of this universe that they created for Stormbound, which is a very minimalist, stylish visual game. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So we're going to listen to Menu Music, and we're going to be talking about Amazon.com, and also joining us will be Rock. Thank you. That's a great track, Antonio. I love it. Love it.
Thank you.
Welcome, Rock. Thank you for joining our chat.
Thank you, Shay. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah,
talk to you and Antonio.
Yeah. So just quickly tell the listeners, because people that have seen our podcast together know that you're our sound guy for the podcast, for your company Resonant Sound. Can you tell us why you're on the show with Antonio?
Yeah, Antonio, it's my first partner after I graduated in sound school.
Mm-hmm.
Found out about this project, the Amazonic. And I reached him and said, man, I just graduated. I want to do something. I love your project. If you have something for me to do, I'll be glad to help you. Yeah, he gave me something to do. He gave me a lot to do. And you've been working since last August, I guess.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
It's an amazing project. So, Antonio, before we talk about the company, the Amazonic.com, what influenced you to go into gaming?
Influences in terms of like the musicians that I grew up listening or composers?
Well, it had to start from somewhere. Were you a gamer?
Yes.
Was there a certain musicians that were in that space that you admired, that you wanted to follow?
Yes, I was a gamer, and I was playing Sonic and Super Mario constantly when I was very young.
I know that game.
Oh my God, it's the best game in the world. Still, like everything that Nintendo does, which I was very fortunate to compose for one of their game last year. So yeah, so I was very fortunate to work on a Nintendo game. And as a fan, I was just in awe, like one of the greatest experiences of my life. But I grew up watching and playing and listening to games developed by Nintendo and from Sega, specifically Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
So the melody, you know, the melody was so strong, so beautifully done, that I would hum constantly when I wasn't playing the game. And that just triggers me. Like I was like very involved with like the idea of how this very simple song with very few instruments, because there was a huge limitation in terms of channels and instruments back in the year for these old video game consoles, how these very simple tunes can be so catchy. So they're always intriguing me. And there is a lot of like music theory behind it to justify that. But yeah, that was the spark of my life. And so the composer from Nintendo called Koji Kondo was the guy that I grew up listening to. Composer from Final Fantasy, Nobuo Uematsu. Composer from Sonic, Masato Nakamura. Okay. So those were the three game composers that had a big impact in my life, that definitely affect me and shaped my language as a composer nowadays.
Oh, that's interesting. What is the theory behind that in gaming music? Or is it too long to discuss on air?
There is like a lot of explanation why the music can be catchy in terms of voice conducting, using some more friendly intervals between some notes, you know, like when you jump from a tonic to a major fifth.
Okay.
So that kind of stuff, the modulations, you know, the closest modulations when you were like complete C major tonality, and then you just go to a B flat major, which is a seventh minor from the C major. So basically doing a modulation. So that kind of stuff that are commonly used in terms of music composing, you start to understand and incorporating these on your vocabulary. Because nowadays, it's not that I don't need to be inspired to compose. I always need to be inspired. But once you start learning and digging the tools and techniques more and more and more, and when you have some tight deadlines to deliver some stuff to your clients, you cannot rely on purely on creativity. So you need to have these technical tools to be used right when the moment comes.
Okay. So it's just an application of standard musical theory.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah,
correct.
I thought so. I wanted to clear that up.
Yeah.
So tell us about Amazonic.com. I was blown away when I saw your website.
Thank you.
Blown away. How did you come up with this idea? Honestly, when I saw it, I was like, and I tell the listeners, it's the first audio company in the world focused on creating premium virtual ethnic instruments played by native people and connected to social causes.
Yes.
So, and the applications is huge, especially for the music industry and any artists out there, because you have a site that have products that they could use in their own music.
Yes, correct.
I am blown away. So tell us about, how did it come about? Like, it's an amazing idea.
So thank you very much. I lived in the Amazon for 4 years, from 2014 to 2018. I've got hired by Samsung. They were basically starting their newly recently opened game studio in Manaus, the capital of the Amazon state in Brazil.
Okay.
And they were just initiating their operations. It was a game studio. They were like the very first game studio of Samsung in the world was in the Amazon. How awesome is that? So they reached me out through LinkedIn and they were like, well, someone referred you. I don't remember who. So we want to talk to you about you coming here and working with us. And I say, you mean coming here by living in the Amazon? And they say, yes. And at the first moment, I was like, oh, man, there is no way. Don't get me wrong. I would never live there because I'm from São Paulo, which is like a concrete jungle. But it's still like I am someone who I am extremely connected to social causes, especially social causes that involve animals. Mm-hmm. So since very, very early in my life. So I'd say, okay, let me go. Let's see what happens. So they booked my flight. They were super nice with me. They made a very interesting and impossible to refuse offer. And I say, you got me. Let's do this. So I moved to the Amazon in the beginning of 2014.
Okay.
And I started to learn so much about the Amazon that my ignorance at the time wasn't allowing me to know about it. You know, about the culture, the food, their their music, right? My grandma, she is a native from Brazil. She is actually native from in Brazil. And I always got very intrigued by her stories that she used to tell me about her, you know, ancestors. And so when I moved to the Amazon, I got connected to the music there. And I just fell in love. I was like, oh my God, these sounds, these instruments, you cannot find anywhere in the world. It's impossible. So it's crazy. It's like so many great instruments. So I always wanted to do something with their music. On the first moment, I tried to do something through Samsung. I say, hey guys, we are in the Amazon. So instead of making games about dragons or, you know, culture that the whole world is tired of having, like, let's do something about our culture. So we can use this, what we have around us. Mm-hmm. But the idea never went through. So I kind of put the idea away. After I moved to the US in July 2018, I was I think I was walking and that lightning strike me. I said, oh my God, why I didn't record a music library with the instruments from the Amazon when I was there. And then at the time I started to write down the project. So I also asked for help for two friends of mine in Manaus. They are not with me in the project anymore, but they helped me with the logistics of the project. Mm-hmm. So we had to search for people, search for the native people, learn for which instruments they would have. And then we did this long researching, 6 months researching about these Amazonian instruments that are mm-hmm. that were played by native people for different purposes, like celebration, rituals, hunting. And when I say hunting, it's not sports hunting because I am against that, but I mean like hunting as part of their life because they need to eat, they need to survive. Uh-huh. So we create this catalog. This was 109 musical instruments, which is insane. Even for me as a Brazilian, there were at least 95 instruments that I never heard about it. So I was like, how is this information not available to anyone? Since the beginning of the project, I had this concept of like, okay, let's create a very, very awesome and unique sound library so people can incorporate in their music. Let's program a very, very, very great software to do that, and which is where Rock helps. I can go into detail about that later. Mm-hmm. But we also need to make sure that we will give it back, that this will be, a profitable company, because we got to make some money from it as well. But how can we help them as well? How can we help them financially, and how can we expose their musicality to the world? And when I say expose, I say, or explore in a good way. So besides the library, the sound library and the software that we created for composers, mm-hmm. we created this free catalog of videos with these musicians and native people telling about this instrument. Everything with subtitles. They show the instrument. They say how this instrument was created. What's the context of use, which is a fantastic collection of video there for people to know more about that culture. And also 30% of the profit goes back to the musicians, people who are part of the project. And also a part of this 30% is converted directly into donations for the tribes that we basically every 2 months, I have a Carol in the Amazon that helps me with these logistics. I send her the money. Uh-huh. And she buys food, medicines, outfits, everything they need, like tribes that they need help. And we ship to them this. And we do a video and record this video and we put on our website. So it's a very cool experience for everyone, because people not just buy a very cool software, but not just a very cool audio library, but also they are contributing with this, and they can see this contribution later on this video that we recorded. So it's a pretty cool experience.
So what is the difference between, you have a couple editions, you have a producer edition, a composer edition, and a complete edition?
Yes. So the producer edition is basically, we have 55 instruments, and we will expand this later this year with more sounds for free for those who purchase and will purchase. Okay. So basically it's a collection of sounds, just wave files with loops and single hits from these instruments. So you have many, many single hits and many, many loops that you can just drag and drop directly into your DAW, like Cubase, Pro Tools, whatever you use, yeah. And it will automatically fit in the tempo. It's great. The composer edition is basically instead of 55 instruments, is 109 instruments, but this time implemented in Kontakt. So you have all the single hits that you can play on your keyboard directly in contact, which is a very famous sampler from Native Instruments. And then the complete edition, you have the everything you have on the composer edition, which is the single hits that you can play on the keyboard, but you also have all the loops implemented on the keyboard as well that can easily adjust with the tempo changes. And you have more round robins, which is basically a variation of the sounds that you hear when you hit the same key many times. So it's a more complete, definitely, as the name says, a more complete experience than the composer and the producer edition. Usually, I would say that the vast majority of our sales, the people who buys our library goes to the complete.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's.
So, can people buy the instruments?
Yes, technically speaking, but not for now. So another thing that I wanted to do in the beginning was basically sell some of these instruments, right? So basically, these instruments, it's a way for those guys to make some money. So basically, I asked them how much would they charge us to build this instrument. And then there is also an extra percentage on top of that price that goes to donations. And then there is a little bit of our profit to make the whole operation happen.
Yeah.
But so we were about to start selling the real instruments on the beginning of the last year. However, because of the pandemic, it just started. It just turned into being an impossible task for now because we need to validate so many things with the department of I forgot the name in English and actually in Portuguese, but the health and international transactions to make sure that what exists on these instruments like seeds and wood can be imported to other countries. And every country has a very specific rule. Some countries require that the seeds need to be burned, or you cannot send any seeds at all. So the seeds would need to be synthetic. So basically there is a lot of restrictions and a lot of rules that we need to follow. But because of the pandemic, everything was closed in Manaus, so we couldn't move forward. We're still working on how to do the best way possible, but it will still take a while for us to start selling the real instruments.
It's so beautiful. Like I would want them as an artist, but also to decorate my home. They're absolutely beautiful. I encourage people to check out the site after the show. We're going to take a bit of a break talking about the company and listen to another one, actually two, but the next one we're listening to is Rock the City, another composition that you wrote for a game. I love it. I love this one. What was the game that you wrote this for?
So this was a game called Rock and Rails.
Rock and Rails. I was trying to remember.
My God. This game, I had so much fun working on as well. Because this game was developed for VR, for virtual reality by Samsung. Okay. And it was, the game is called Rock and Rails. So it's a story about rock and roll. And basically there are these monsters that wants to silence music in the world. And you play as this band through rails where you basically kill these monsters in a very cartoonish way using your musical instruments. So when the game designers approached me to do the music, I was like, oh my God, yes, that sounds so cool. So basically I composed the music for it and then I played all the instruments except the voice. Voice was the singer. Is called Giulio Federici, great friend of mine. And I wrote the lyrics, which with my friend at the time, Marcella, And so we wrote this lyric about the rock and roll. You know, it's so cliche. People will hear, they will understand. It's so cliche. And even the name is so cliche, Rock the City. And yeah, we just want to do a song that was a little bit like kind of like the glam hard rock era.
Yeah, it was a fun track.
Fun track, yes. Fun
so
track.
We're going to listen to Rock the City right now.
Rock the City! Welcome to my city, a place where rock and roll just flows through our veins and hearts. There's no room for pity, we just get up and shout out loud until the morning starts. But when someone just wants some silence, trust your quiet hour. Your ass.
And honestly, when I first heard it, I was like, oh, I love it. It's so cool. It's really cool. It's really cool.
Thank you.
Before we listen to the third track, Next Generation, I wanted to discuss, you also have other music that you do, not just the gaming. Yeah. Can you talk a bit about that?
So basically, the vast majority of music that I've composed for video games are usually orchestral.
Yes.
Orchestra music is possibly like 85% of my work is orchestral music. Mm-hmm. Even though I am a rock and roll guy, let's say from my credo. The vast majority is orchestral. I just arranged a couple of tracks for a project that will be released very soon. It was already announced by Sega. I cannot talk about it by now unless it comes out, but it was recorded with a beautiful orchestra. And orchestra is more of my big part of my work. But sometimes, like for example, right now I'm working in two projects. Mm-hmm. Where I have to compose everything electronically using synthesizers, like guitar pedals and a lot of distorted and sound effects and sound design on it. So it changes depending on the client.
Okay. We also do modern. You have a modern collection as well.
Correct. Yes, I do. Yeah. I just like to blend sounds and see what happens.
Okay.
I think that's also one of the reasons why I created the Amazonic, because I was like this, a little bit of this pursuit as well of trying to find new sounds, because after a while you kind of get bored fusing the same sounds. I love orchestral composition, that's my thing, but after a while you go like, okay, I'm getting a little bit tired. So let me use some
electronic instrument.
Yeah, it changes. You know how it is. Our creative flow just sometimes asks for new stuff, and all the time. But yeah,
mm-hmm. That's amazing. Is there anything else about the Amazonic.com that you would like to talk about?
Yeah. So let me see. I think one thing that we could talk about to bring rocking, I think that could be a good opportunity, is to talk about the implementation. So when I brought rocking to the project, we were basically on the stage that we were editing all the samples, mm-hmm. on Pro Tools, and we need to have someone from on the tech side to help on the implementation for Kontakt. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I parted ways with my former partners, and they left the project. And I was like, okay, let me find someone to do that. And that's how I came to Rock. Mm-hmm. And if Rock wants to share a little bit of how was his experience implementing the sounds on Kontakt, that'll be cool.
When I reach Antonio, when I finish audio school, he was at this point. He had already all the recordings made,
mm-hmm.
and he needed someone to help him edit and separate the recordings into small samples. And like when you have a recording from a drum, for instance, you have like several hits on the drum,
mm-hmm.
and we needed to separate these hits and code in a way that you can play in your keyboard, and the way you play, it tries to mimic the same effects when you are playing the real instrument. So.
Oh, wow.
If you play harder than a key, it's going to be a hard hit. If you play soft, it's a soft hit. And even when you play the same thing several times, mm-hmm. in a real instrument, it's not exactly the same sound you get. There is a little bit of difference between a hit and a second hit. So to have these effects, we had several records of the same way to play, like if you get like a piano, when mm-hmm. you play a do, so you have like six, seven times the same do, different, small difference between them. It is how it sounds more natural. So I got these recordings. I split up the sounds and map into the keyboard inside of Kontakt. That is this software that is standard for virtual instruments, and try to have a real playing experience. It was an amazing job. I'm from Brazil as well, and I'm from the north of Brazil in the border of Amazon. Mm-hmm. So during this process was like coming back home and remember those sounds that is familiar and you sometimes don't even realize. So
part of the environment.
Yeah, we hear those sounds in our parties and our regional festivities. Mm-hmm. And some of the instruments I knew from these parties, a lot of them were real new for me. But, you know, it's like coming back home and be part of this. It was in the beginning of my career in sound. It was the best thing, I guess.
You keep attracting music. We're going to call you the music man of audio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you find that fun? It's true. Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that, Rob. Do you have anything to add to that, Antonio?
Yes, I would like to share with you an exclusive news, actually. We are working, and Rock is with me as well, on the... We are creating a Canadian virtual instrument library with the First Nations, and we are starting to work on that. And the idea of the Amazonic is really to expand to other native folks around the world. Included here in America and some other places, still in Brazil. There's so many tribes in Brazil. And we want to become a reference when it comes down to a company that represents these communities and, you know, what we call nowadays the minority group, which is a terminology that I actually not a big fan of it, but mm-hmm. that's the term people use, but sadly. And so we really want to establish ourselves on that side, and we really want to make sure these sounds will be always, you know, available for people that produce music and for the next generations to come. So this the legacy of these sounds will be kept and protected by the next generations, and hopefully this will bring some awareness to people as well that there's much more out there, and we need to be very careful and very thoughtful about what we do in the world that can impact negatively and affect these communities from these native people, for example.
Oh, 100%. That's amazing that you're reaching out to other countries.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a bit about the last tracks that we're going to hear, Next Generation?
Yes.
I so love next it. I love it, too. My favorite was Rock the City, but I have a Rock in my blood. Yeah.
Rock the City is a friendly listen one, right? It's easy to listen with.
Yeah.
I love that. I actually almost never listen to my tracks after I finish. But Rock the City is a track that I put on my car sometimes when I'm driving around here in Los Angeles.
Oh, I can see that. It really helped me. I was really quiet, and all of a sudden it was about 5 a.m. Like sometimes I listen to music really early, and I'm like, oh my God, this is really perked me up. I liked it.
Thank you so much.
So was Next Generation part of this?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought
the
so.
The Next Generation is the final, the last song of the game Rockin' Rails. That's why it's a little bit more heavy, because like the boss fight, as we call in the gamer world. But let me tell you one thing. I'm going to just share some secrets here just for you. Nobody knows that except for some very, very close friends. But when I was composing this music, the Next Generation, the team wasn't coming up to a, how can I say, wasn't coming up to a decision about the game. And there was like some fights in the team, right? Mm-hmm. So what happened is that the big guys show up and they started to take decisions, and decisions that was kind of like weird in my opinion about the game. Mm-hmm. So I've got a little bit pissed. And so I composed The Next Generation, and I wrote a lyric about what was going on that. So that's why I say we are the next generation and you are the old generation. And
oh my like, God.
So it was like a protest song inside the company. So
that's amazing. I love it.
In a very fun way, of course. Nothing. I love those guys. It was in the end, it was just like a fun thing to do, but it was kind of like my, okay, I'm going to write a protest song here, guys. So it's kind of like subtle in the lyrics, but if you pay close attention, you will understand that I'm criticizing that we are not machines. Mm-hmm. So we are like human beings, and we are it was pretty cool. I thought like when I wrote the lyrics, I thought the producers wouldn't approve, but they did it, and I was like, that's too late. That's the one that's gonna be them. That's the one. So I did it.
I love the attitude. Mm-hmm. I love the attitude. That's awesome. Your activism is coming out. So we're gonna we're gonna hear Next Generation now.
We are the next generation. Time to rejoice.
a great story. A great story. Do you have any future projects that you can talk about? Or are they? I know you work for a lot of gaming companies, and you may not be able to talk about them.
So. Yeah, I cannot. The things that are coming out. Yeah, the things that are coming out. The vast majority still cannot talk about it. But there is a. I'm doing a very the sound design, the sound production, music composing, sound design. I have my company, my audio company called Andromeda Sound.
Okay.
So AndromedaSound.com, if you guys want to see it. So we have this team that we work providing basically music, sound design, and voiceover direction, audio implementation, everything for games and animations. I'm working on some great projects that I can't wait to share. Yeah.
And that's you've done quite a lot of projects with that company as well.
So far it's more than 400 video games.
Yeah.
It's been quite a ride.
Yeah, you're very busy, very busy. So out of curiosity, you live in California?
Correct. Yeah, living in Los Angeles, yes.
I thought so. I just you've done remarkably. You've been remarkably successful. Met you, and I'm so proud of you. For somebody to force just a successful career in music and doing it your way, I think it's amazing what you've done.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Sometimes we feel the uncertainties in life hitting us, but then I am a very positive guy, and I always try to be surrounded by positive people just like you. I can definitely feel you're a super nice person, have a great vibe. I love that.
Uh-huh.
So I always try to be surrounded by nice people, and it definitely helps you to be in the path. Because sometimes like you work 16 hours for days, nonstop, Monday to Monday. And it's nice to be surrounded by people that pushes you. And I think that's a very important thing to have.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So I'm not the only one that does 16-hour days.
And Shade, a funny story about me and Antonio. We've been in the same wedding party.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
In Brazil. But we haven't met at that party. We were in the same wedding party. It's my cousin's party in Manaus.
That is true.
But we know about each other years later when she made that connection. It was really funny.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
That was...
Yeah.
Just to close out, I wanted to say that Andromeda Sound is a service where people can, if they have a project, like a AAA game, an indie film, or a Hollywood production, you have solutions for them in terms of music.
Correct. Yes. Andromeda Sound. Yeah. That's the sole purpose of Andromeda Sound is to provide all the solutions for game, for films, and for animations. And we our motto is we are storytellers through sound, because in the end, we are storytellers, but just using the audio as a medium, right? Mm-hmm.
So well, I 100% believe that. I 100%. Yeah. I do a lot of videos, and until you put the music, it almost is dead. And then you select the music for it, so you might end up with a customer. So where's the best place to source you out? Would it be your primary website, because you have all the connections, all your credits and connections there? Would it be AntonioTioli.com?
Yes, AntonioTioli.com is my artist website. That's where I have pretty much the vast majority of my credits there. I still need to update the website at some point this year, but it's been a little bit busy. And then AndromedaSound.com is the website from my company, which can take you actually to all the other websites, like my personal websites as well, in just case, but the Amazonic.com. I have also online school that teaches game audio to people called gameaudioschool.com. And right now it's just in Portuguese, but yeah, but we are doing courses in English and Spanish for this year as well. So through AndromedaSound.com, you can go through all of these websites, including my website as well.
Okay, so yeah, I see that. I see that. I hopped on the site. So the best place would be AndromedaSound.com.
Yeah, AndromedaSound.com will be the best place to take people to everywhere.
I'll make sure the link's on the profile for the podcast.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. It was really amazing to have you on. I'm very impressed with you as a professional.
And oh, thank you.
I expect to see lots of great things from you.
No, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much, Rock, for putting us together. It was a pleasure. And I'm definitely can't wait to listen to this podcast and the next ones to come. I am a fan.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Closing tonight, a quote from Robert Allen. Cultural differences should not separate us from each other, but rather cultural diversity brings a collective strength that can benefit all of humanity. And that brings us to the end. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Antonio and Rock for coming on tonight's show. When the show goes silent, take a minute to reflect. The messages told through music tonight are powerful. Remember, without music, our canvas is blank. Night all. Cheers. Well, that's a wrap for tonight. Episodes run every Wednesday. Who shows up or what we talk about, who knows right now. Live on the edge. Just tune in and enjoy. See you next Wednesday. From my pad to yours, after hours. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.